So the scripture scholars tell us that in John's gospel, there are no wasted words. Every detail of every story that he tells has significance for us in our quest for salvation. In the passage we have today, it's loaded. There are many layers and layers of truths in the mystery of God's love being revealed to us. And there are many Catholic commentaries available online, or maybe you even have some at home, that can help you really unpack the depths of what's presented to us today. And again, as I said, these next couple of weeks, as we hear these wonderful readings from St. John's Gospel, there's so much there to unlock the truths of God's love, God's mercy for us. But as we look at the passage today, this woman at the well, I mean, just that phrase right there, the Jews hearing this story for the first time to encounter John's gospel, for the Jew to hear about a well would have brought them back to the Old Testament, to the forefathers of the chosen people, who so often there's a well at the center of their lives, especially when a man goes to a well and he encounters a woman there. It always leads to a marriage. There's always a nuptial imagery when we encounter a well, especially when a man and a woman is there. So those initial images are in this story. And we today don't have that necessary connection, but the early hearers of this would have been expecting a marriage to come out of this encounter. And also in this encounter, this woman coming to the well at the time of day she did, John says it was about noon. Any of you who've ever done work outside, manual labor, know that noon is not the ideal time to go and do some hard work, and getting water from the well was hard work. Typically, the women would have come together early in the morning or later in the evening when it was not quite so hot. So we have to wonder why she's coming at this time of the day. But also, it was about noon. This week, if you go back and reread this passage and from John's gospel and turn a few pages till we get to the Passion account, it was also about noon when he went to the cross. So not only do the images bring us back to the beginning of salvation history, there's some imagery here pointing forward to the Paschal mystery, the suffering and death of Jesus. It was about noon. Jesus asked the woman today for a drink. So we can assume he was thirsty. 3 years later, hanging on the cross, what does Jesus say? I thirst. The people are expecting a marriage, a nuptial celebration. What else does Jesus say on the cross? Our English translation gives us, it is finished. Some of the older translations would say, it is consummated. Again, a direct nuptial image brought to us. And we know, hopefully, the big arc, the connection throughout all of sacred scriptures. From the very first pages of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, that marriage, that family, all the way through to the last pages of Revelation, the marital imagery is there. That God has chosen that image to show to us what our relationship with him is supposed to be. And oftentimes, in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, God, Jesus, is referred to as the bridegroom who's come to marry us, the church. We are his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. So all of this, just in the very first words of this story, bring up so many images to us, so many the depths of the mystery that God is trying to reveal to us. And they're at the well, I need some water, this notion of living water and quenching thirst. That's the connection to the first reading. The Israelites and their journey, their trek through the desert. They're grumbling, they're complaining, they're moaning because life is difficult and they're thirsty. And they begin to complain and gripe because they're not getting what they want when they want it. They're saying they'd rather go back to slavery because it was comfortable and convenient and they were used to it rather than journey to freedom. Even though they had seen miraculous events already in the desert, they were ready to give up because life got a little difficult for them. Jesus tells this woman, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right, you've had five. This woman was a Samaritan from the area of Samaria. And she even said it in that dialogue. Why are you talking to me? We hate each other. What's up? Like, what's going on? Why are you talking to me? The Samaritans and Jews hated each other because the Jews, which were the chosen people from the south, the Samaritans were in the north. And we remember 722 BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern tribes and they intermarried with those pagans. So they were half-breeds. They were impure. They were not the true chosen people, so those in the south didn't like the ones in the north. And when the Assyrians came in, they brought with them their own pagan gods. And there were five gods that the pagans had that these chosen people in the north began to worship. So this woman really did have five husbands, but the Samaritans had five idols. They married themselves to a false god. How often do we? How often, in spite of the great miracles we've seen and the stories we hear in the scriptures, how often do we call and complain and gripe and moan because we don't get our way, because life is a little difficult? I'd rather go back to the way it used to be, even though it wasn't the best, because I don't like the way it is now. How often, like the woman, do we turn to the things of the world to satisfy our needs? And when it doesn't work out, we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, hoping that maybe the next time I'll be satisfied. The next time my thirst will be quenched. The next time I will be happy. This is what's being presented to us today. It is the state of the human soul outside of the mercy and love of God the Father, that we're lost. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we need. And we'd rather go back to slavery than maybe hope that the future can be better. And that hope for the better future is what St. Paul was saying in that second reading so beautifully. I was kind of expecting some of us to rise up in ecstasy to hear the truth of what St. Paul says, the reality of who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. That we have been justified by faith and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We've gained access by faith and then we stand in this grace and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint. For God proved his love for us that while we were dead in our sin, he gave himself to us. He poured out his Holy Spirit into us while we were dead in our sin and brought us back to life. This is the reality of our life as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we were stuck. We were dead in our sin, like this woman at the well, keep going back to the same thing over and over again. And when we were in the noon of the day, the hottest part of the day, because we were ashamed of the life we've made, we're trying to avoid the crowds, hide from others, hide from ourselves, hide from God. It's in that moment of darkness, of despair, of loneliness, that Christ comes to us. Because as long as this passage was in the gospel, if you go back just one verse, St. John tells us that Jesus had to go that way. Jews didn't go through Samaria. It was a straight north and south line between the north and the south in the kingdom. Samaria was in the middle. They hated Samaria so much, they would add extra time to their journey just to avoid the land. But Jesus had to go through there. He wanted this encounter. Jesus wants to encounter each one of you, each one of us. There's nothing that you've done, there's nothing that you will do that will prevent you from encountering the love and the mercy of Jesus. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate the Paschal mysteries. Because we were all locked in the death of sin. But he comes to us. He encounters us where we are. He doesn't avoid our sin, but with the sacred and merciful heart, he brings us through it. And this woman had brought her jug to this well so that she could get the water for the day and maybe just a little bit of relief. And what happened? She ran back home and left her jar behind. So what's your jar? What's your well? Where are you going in this world hoping for a little bit of reprieve, a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness just to get through the day? Christ today is inviting you to leave that jar behind, to surrender the stronghold that sin has in our lives. And sometimes the things we go to aren't necessarily bad, but they're just not Jesus. And only Jesus will satisfy. And that's what this woman encountered. That the thirst, the quest deep in her soul for something more. That she was unsure where to meet it, unsure where to find it. So it came to her. And she ran back home. And she told everyone about this encounter. Her life was changed. She couldn't be the same, and she couldn't keep it to herself. Have you had that encounter? Have you experienced the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ being poured into your hearts? Have you run back home and told the whole world? Does your family know about your encounter with Jesus Christ? Do your neighbors, do your coworkers, do your friends at school know that you've been saved by Jesus Christ and you stand in the truth of his grace, and that you never again need to go back to that well or any well ever again, because you have hope in Jesus Christ and hope does not disappoint? And we can suffer through the minor inconveniences of this world because I'm standing in the truth of Jesus Christ, who has raised me to new life and poured himself into me, and I'm no longer my own, but now I live for Jesus Christ. Have you experienced this, and do your friends and family know? Because they came to Jesus. They wanted to experience what she experienced. And they no longer believe just because she said it, but because they spent time with him, they believed it too. This is the power that we have as disciples of Jesus. And this is how we unlock the darkness in the world that we know is going crazy, but we have the answer. This woman came to the well because she was thirsty. Christ was thirsty too. Christ is thirsty for you. Christ is thirsty for your soul, for your families. He wants you, he needs you to trust him. That woman went away changed because Christ had quenched her thirst. Will you let him quench your thirst today?